Today on Real Radio.
So when you fast, you can delete a meal. You can delete a pleasure. If you're able health-wise, you can sustain on water. It doesn't matter. It's between you and the Lord.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series called Why Should I? A collection of scriptural studies that takes a look at what the Bible says about lifestyle choices for the believer. Now, the practice of fasting is mentioned in both the Old and the New Testaments. So, quite obviously, Christians and Jews can be found engaging in this temporary abstinence from eating. But, you know, these days, a lot of folks seem to fast without really fully understanding its purpose. And that's what Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs talks about today in this lesson called, Why Should I Fast?
When you're fasting, amazing, bizarre strengthening comes upon you. In fact, it would be probably summed up like this. When we are physically weakened, we are spiritually strengthened. It's an important rule to keep in mind. Number four on this, fasting so we can become wiser. Wiser. When we fast, we begin to strip away our perceptions. We depart from, say, conventional or earthly wisdom. And this is so important, people. Listen. You can talk to a Christian brother. Now, don't take me wrong on this. This is a spirit-filled, wonderful Christian brother that you know. You can talk to him and he can give you counsel. He can even give you chapter verse of the Bible regarding this counsel. That's wonderful. You can talk to another brother or sister, spirit-filled, giving you counsel, chapter verse from the Bible. And that's a wonderful thing. But then you can go to God in fast and in prayer, and God will not take either one of those bits of counsel. God will speak to you specifically the chapter, verse, which is the answer for your situation. And this is where we fail. As Christians, we blow this miserably. You know why? Because we don't want to practice this discipline. And so we say, hey, Bob, what should I do? Well, you know, James 1:5 says, and it's a great verse. It's just not the one God wants for you. You may say, hey, Betty, what should I do? And she might say, you know what? 1 Chronicles 9:3 says, oh. And you, listen, with great intentions, you can go away thinking, well, I need to apply these two verses. I got my answer. And then you wonder why nothing happened or it didn't work or you're still confused. This is where we fail as a church. God wanted to speak to you and I personally. He wanted to teach us more about fasting and hearing from him. And he had a verse. He had a chapter that was tailor-made, engineered by the Spirit for our life, for my life, for your life. And this is a crisis in the Christian church today. Well, I know I'm supposed to do this because I heard a Christian radio broadcast, and he quoted the same verse that I heard in the morning. That could be true and good for you, or it could be something that just happened to be. Seek God to confirm it. Has anyone ever told you, brother, I got a word from the Lord, and you need to do this? What are you going to do with that? Oh, my goodness, it's a word from the Lord. I better go do that. I better sell my house and my cars and give him all the money. It's a word from the Lord. You better seek God. That's the whole spirit behind what Paul said in Acts 17:11. Search the scriptures to conclude, discern, understand if these things are so, which we preach. That's so important that we become wiser in the things of God. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess. That is, she was one who spoke forth the word of God. The daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this, that is, her husband had long been gone, passed on. So now she's a widow for some 7 years. And this woman was a widow about 84 years of age, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption of Jerusalem. Don't you love this lady? We have ladies like this here in this church. They're widows. They love the Lord. And they're consumed with church service. And they pray. And they love to tell people about Jesus. They go into the produce section at Albertsons because I've heard about it. And that young little produce boy, he's putting all those fruits and nuts and bananas and things up there, and he's washing them, positioning them up, and she'll come walking up there, and she'll say, "Isn't that a beautiful orange?" "Yes, ma'am, great looking oranges. We just got them in today. Look at this orange." She'll make them look at it. "Look at it, look at this." "Yes, ma'am. Would you like that orange?" "Oh, yes, I'm gonna buy that orange." But I gotta tell you, is this not the work of God? And you know, there is not. Here's a young man, he's washing that produce down, and she's a little old lady. And she says, "Now, look, I want to tell you about the God who made this orange. He can't leave. He cannot go anywhere." "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am." And she'll let him have it. "This banana, man cannot make this banana. God made this banana. And young man, God made you. And Jesus talked about bearing fruit. And you need to be bearing fruit just like the trees did from these." And oh, there she goes. This woman prayed, Anna did, and she fasted, and she loved to tell people about Jesus. That's a great thing. What a wise old lady. The Bible says in the book of Daniel chapter 12 that those who lead many to righteousness, that is to salvation, shall in eternity shine forth like the stars. Isn't that great? You don't have to be a Billy Graham to lead somebody to Christ. Just tell them. And one of the great things is that when you're fasting and seeking the Lord, he will embolden you and he'll give you his wisdom. Number 5, fasting so we can be focused. In writing this down, I don't know how to, I struggle with how to communicate this because I know what it's like, but I don't know how to say it. And in my notes, I jotted down that fasting causes us to be freed from the normal concerns so that we can focus more fully on spiritual matters. And just saying that, it sounds, well, you know, I'm going to wean myself from the things of the world and become righteous before God, and I will have no carnal thought. That's not what I'm talking about. I don't know how to explain it to you unless you know what I'm talking about. That when you enter into a fast, the things that are so plaguing you and I, do you know what those things are? The things that just seem to nip at our heels, they go away. A calmness comes over your spirit, over your very person. And I think young people, I think teenagers need to hear what I'm saying here. The things of this world, they don't seem so important anymore. Peer pressure begins to wane, and the things of heaven begin to occupy your mind more. It's a very odd thing. And it's almost, allow me to say this, it's almost as though the things of heaven become technicolor in your head. Now watch this. If you're praying and fasting to make a decision, let's say you're a business owner, and you have 100 employees, and let's say they're even all Christians. That would make you a pastor, I would think, over your company. You're fasting, you're praying, they're not. They're saying things like, boy, I hope he makes the right decision about who to lay off. Hoping won't do it. But he's fasting and praying. Guess what? God may tell him things that he himself does not understand. God may say to him, I want you to lay off this guy, that girl, this guy, this guy. But God, they're my best workers. Are you sure, God? And you pray and you seek God more and he confirms it to you. He's not talking to anybody else. God's talking to that business owner. And the answer comes. Makes no sense to you at all. You would never do that. You would never make that decision on your own, never. In fact, your Christian friends would counsel you against that, wouldn't they? That's natural. Sure they would. But God told you. And then you have to make your statement. You have to hand out the pink slip. And then all of the rest, the 94 other employees are so angry at you. And you got to take the heat because they don't understand. And it doesn't make any sense to them until 6 months later or till a year later. When they find out that the people that you laid off got better jobs, greater jobs, they're doing better, and the company that you own is doing better, and the employees that cursed you have been promoted. And then a year or two, maybe, they look back and they say, boy, I was sure against that decision at the start, but man, he's a wise guy. He really knew how to call that one. He didn't know how to call it. As a pastor, I didn't know how to call it. When we bought that property out there, I'm sure that when I walked out there with the board, I said, we got to buy this. They probably thought I was nuts. And I told them, you go pray, you go fast, you go find out. And God spoke to them, but I knew. It was scary at first because, you know, you make an offer to the owner of the land. Hey, we want to buy this land. We want to pay this much. The guy's a little Frenchman. He was so French. He was a Frenchman. He was so angry. He said, pardon my French. And he cursed at me and left. But I knew God had spoken. We didn't go run around, oh, we got to make offer on more land. We've got to change our offer. No, just hang on. It looked stupid, people. We insulted him by the offer. That's the last thing you want to do when you're buying something from somebody is insult them. God had given us the amount. It was very clear. And we made the offer. And the guy was furious. And a month later, he called us back. All right, I'll take it. Well, okay, but we want you to pay for this, this, and the other thing. What? And we bought that land, and God turns around. It's just a God thing. God turns around, and we were planning on making payments on that land for 15 years. God pays it off in 2 3/4 years. Paid it off. And did we have a property payoff drive here at this church? No. Have we had a building fund crusade thermometer at this church? No. Why? Because when you pray, seek God, he'll speak, and everybody might say, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with it either. It's not my choosing, but he made it clear. You and I need to have that kind of confidence. And everything we do, God is willing to let it be that clear to us. Let's just seek him. And then, you know what the beautiful thing about it is? When God speaks and says it, it doesn't matter what even precious, well-meaning people say. You look at them and say, you know what? Just continue to pray for us. I think you're a lunatic, Pastor Jack. Just seek the Lord and pray that God will continue to bless this church. That was my response. I wanted to say, you don't have a clue. You don't. No, I couldn't do that. I had to act like an adult. That's what I felt like on the inside. But they didn't understand. It's okay, and you can't get upset with them. But listen, man, when God speaks, you can hold your ground. It's not like you have to. You get to. Because he has spoken. You can be focused. Number 6, listen, waiting, fasting, so we can wait. Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. Matthew 9:14 says, "Then the disciples of John came to him saying, 'Why do we and the Pharisees often fast?'" We quoted this verse earlier. "But your disciples do not fast." And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as he's with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away, and then shall they fast." Jesus has been gone. So in understanding this verse, while he's gone, we should be engaged in regular fasting. Why? Because we want him to have his will done in our lives, and also we are fasting and praying and seeking him and longing for his kingdom to come. We fast to find out about mission trips. We fast to find out who should go. We fast to bless and to pray and to encourage those that are going, be it a 1-week trip, a 2-week trip, or a lifetime experience as we send them. Fasting so that we can be sending people. Acts chapter 13, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Acts 13, 1 says, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Minyan, who had been brought up in with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted." Isn't that beautiful? They ministered to the Lord. How do you do that? You minister to each other. That's how you minister to the Lord. "And they fasted. Then the Holy Spirit said to them," oh, I like the progression. They served the Lord, they were fasting, then the Spirit spoke, saying, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to do." Then having fasted and prayed, we laid our hands on them and sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, and the rest of the world was changed, by the way. We can fast in the area of sending people out. Number 8, we'll end with this one. The 8th one is this: fasting. Why should we fast? So we can be consecrated to God. We're dedicating ourselves to God as a church. A convocational or congregational fast. That we would be consecrated to God. We're going to shut out the world. We're going to do business with God. Jeremiah 36:3. God says, "You go, therefore, and read from the book which you have written at my instruction, the word of the Lord, in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house on the day of your fasting. And you shall also read them in the hearing of all Judah who come from their cities." A group gathered together in the Bible, fasting. Consecration unto the Lord. You know this verse. 2 Chronicles 7:14-15. Consecration. "If my people who are called by my name," that's all he's asking for. He's not asking all of America to fast and pray. Just his people. "Will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wickedness, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive them of their sins and heal their land." God's talking to his people. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. "Now my eyes will be opened and my ears will be attentive to their prayer made in this place." So quickly, let me wrap this up. Practical application. When should we fast? Well, in public calamity, the Bible shows us. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12, public calamity. "They mourned and they wept and they fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord and the house of the Lord, because they had fallen by the sword." Public calamity. Personal affliction, write that down. Psalm 35, verse 13, "But as for me, when they were sick," this is the psalmist interceding for others. "When they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth, and I humbled myself with fastings and prayer." When someone's sick, pray for them. Intercede for them. Fast. Pray. Impending judgment. Well, in times of impending judgment, God told Esther, chapter 4, "You better pray. You better seek me, that this nation, these Jews, would be saved." Luke chapter 18, Jesus says, verses 9 through 14, he spoke this parable unto them concerning some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised other people. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a sinner. And the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. Notice he prayed with himself. God wasn't listening. He prayed with himself. And he says, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I possess. And the tax collector, standing at a far distance, would not so much even as to raise his eyes up into heaven. He beat upon his chest and he said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says, I tell you something. This man went away to his house justified rather than that other man. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself, I will exalt him. Fasting should be a humble thing. We know that fasting should be done when you ordain people into ministry. Acts chapter 14 teaches us verses 21 to 23. It should always be accompanied by prayer. We've learned about that. It should be in association with the confession of sins. Nehemiah chapter 9 and 1 Samuel chapter 7. Confession, fasting regarding sin. So very important. I end with this last verse. Isaiah 58, verse 6. God says, this is the fast that I have chosen for my people, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens. Listen to the joy of it. To let the oppressed people go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? And when you see the naked, that you'd cover them and not hide your face from them, then your light shall break forth as the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go out before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer you. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Isn't that great? I love it. So when you fast, you can delete a meal. You can delete a pleasure. If you're able health-wise, you can sustain on water. It doesn't matter. It's between you and the Lord. But for your dilemma, for the dilemma of a friend, for a nation, to hear God more clearly, to get direction from him, you must fast. It's a joy.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson called Why Should I Fast? It's a scriptural look at the purposes of temporary abstinence from eating and how it plays a big part in the life of the believer. Why Should I Fast? It's part of Pastor Jack's collection of topical lessons simply called Why Should I? Which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, today being Monday means that you can catch our television program tonight. The program is called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday, 7 p.m. West Coast time, on his channel. That's hischannel.com. Now, by the way, it's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs because you'll often see Pastor Jack sit down with some pretty fascinating people to discuss the real-life hard-hitting topics that affect, well, all of us as believers at one time or another. Everything from issues on a personal level to those on an international scale. Just to give you an idea, here are some of the guests we've had on Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Dr. David Hawking, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, Kurt Bruner, and Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council. Actually, it's quite a number of well-known guests, but you'll see Pastor Jack also teach on scriptural topics as well. And tonight, it's another Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, on his channel, hischannel.com. In fact, for your point-and-click convenience, if you will, we've got a link to his channel from our own realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. RR Radio. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.